Report Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Obviously, we are still broadcasting from D.C. I'm one of the last stragglers here. We were up here for a radio conference. But anyway, there's still a lot going on up here, a lot to discuss, particularly in the House of Representatives and on the Senate side as well, but on Congress or Capitol Hill. And no better gentleman to join us right now to kind of give us an update about that, Congressman Robert Atterhold of the 4th Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate when you come on. I just want to let you know that. Well, first off, you know, it went late last night, and Pelosi, there appears to be some serious divisions on the Democrat side about some of these spending packages. And as long as Republicans hold together, they really got a tough fight ahead of them, it seems.
Well, that's what's transpiring right now. Of course, last night, or of course all day yesterday, we anticipated the vote on this infrastructure bill because Pelosi had made a promise to the moderates of her party that she was going to have a vote. But the problem she had was she had to vote it fail. And of course, obviously that makes any speaker look bad when you bring a floor vote and it fails. It makes your party look bad and makes you look bad. So this was really a tough situation for her. So we kept thinking until about 10:30 last night we were going to have a vote, and finally she pulled the plug. I see in one of the reports this morning that she was interviewed as she left the Capitol shortly after midnight last night, and she said there will be a vote today, meaning Friday. I am on standby to go vote. To vote against this infrastructure bill, because the Republicans have had no input into it, as you well know. And most of it has absolutely nothing to do with infrastructure. Matter of fact, half of it, has just a lot of the liberal spending, priorities like the Green New Deal, gas tax, dealing with sexual orientation, gender identity, and education and things like that. So, Republicans are against it, and oddly enough, we are paired up with the liberal faction of the Democrat Party that they're against it. Now, we're against it for different reasons, but at the same time, that's why she can't get a vote, the votes for the floor.
Well, do you think that there's a possibility that would that cause any Republicans to go over to their side?
Well, she would come down. Well, I say she would come down. She might be willing to come down. The problem is that the liberal faction, progressive faction, whatever you want to call it, in her party, it's a non-starter. And she won't do anything, or she can't get anything through, because it's not just 5 or 6 votes. It's not like 10 or 12. I'm thinking it's maybe like 30 or 40 votes in her party that won't go along with it. And just because they think it's too small, they want to have, and something, you know, they see 3 points that, well, first of all, they see the other bill that they want to see moving at $3.5 trillion. They see it as already compromised because they wanted $6 or $7 trillion. So, 3.5 is where they've come, what they feel like they've. And so to come down below that, they see it slap in the face. So I think that's where the real problem is.
But it's really this, that the number, if they go to the number the progressives want, then you're going to lose the votes in the Senate you need, and that breaks the deal there. So it is, it's just a, you know, it's a movable object here, to a rock in a hard place, if you will, for Democrats. It doesn't seem like there are many other alternatives.
Yeah, now they're in a very real predicament. And of course, obviously as Republican, we just stand by and watch the disarray of, fighting among the Democrats. And, again, we're, oddly enough, Republicans are lined up with the most liberal group of the Democrat Party to oppose the bill, but obviously for different reasons. We think it's too much. They think it's not enough. But at the end of the day, the bill can't move forward because of it. And so, what we want to see, even though the $1.5 or $1.2 trillion is smaller, this infrastructure bill, Republicans in the House have had no input into it, and therefore we are wanting to say that, and we want to make sure that there's more emphasis on infrastructure than all these other programs. We want to see roads and bridges and dams and even rural broadband, but all these other social programs that are in this bill, you know, for us, it's a non-starter. So this is the fun part of being in the legislative process, is seeing how different factions can come together and sometimes can be absolutely opposed to each other, but yet at the same time can be on the same side.
Kirstman, is this something that's probably was going to happen eventually, that you were going to have difficulties? Because Pelosi has done, I think, a very good job of kind of keeping these divisions concealed. They're out in the open. We still got, a year, more than a year left, at least, of Democrats in charge, barring, what happens in the midterms or maybe a special election. But either way, now that we know that where the cracks are, now that we know where these divisions are, we're going to see a little more of this in the future.
Yeah, I think you will see this more in the future. I think that right now you just have the Democrat Party that is controlled by and large by the most liberal faction. And you're seeing that they are very strong in their stance. There is a handful of so-called moderates in the Democrat Party. But what makes this most difficult is really, I think they will get rolled in the House, these moderates, but the problem is on the Senate side, you've got Joe Manchin from the conservative state of West Virginia and Chris from Arizona, which is a pretty conservative state all in all, and they know where their constituency loyalty lies. And so that's really what makes it difficult for Pelosi. It's not so much in the House, because I think she could roll over some of the moderates, because there's just not many of them on the Democrat side of the House. But when you've got Manchin and Sinema in the Senate and you've got a 50-50 majority, you know, she can't control, Pelosi can't control Manchin. He's in the Senate from a different state, from a different philosophy, and it's just not possible for her to control him. And why she may be able to control some of the moderates in her own party in the House.
Well, and here's, that we talk a lot about 2022, but that 2020 election in the House, and the Republicans picking up those seats, and that was tough for a lot of people. But had you guys not picked up those seats in the House, we could be having a very different discussion right now about this, right?
Well, if we'd not picked up that, and then of course if Manchin and Sinema wasn't there, then you would see this legislation move through like a bulldozer, and so it would be coming down the track. That's why even one or two seats in the House or the Senate make a difference. And I know that, we focus on the presidency, and it's vitally important, and no question about it. But obviously, it shows you what can happen if we could just keep one or two seats in the majority in the House or the Senate, how things could change as well.
Joined by Congressman Robert Adderholt here on the program. He represents 4th Congressional District. You've probably seen these kinds of, dramatic moments in congressional history in your tenure. Have you ever seen one like this where the president or the administration seems to be absent from it, where they're not really, maybe they're turning arms and twisting arms behind the scenes and really pushing, but there doesn't seem to be any engagement from the White House in this, or am I missing it?
No, you're right. I think the president is in a very precarious situation. He would like to get something through, but he has made also this promise to the liberal faction of the Democrat Party. And quite honestly, most of the nationwide, their constituency is more of a liberal persuasion. And therefore, he has to be very careful in trying to go for a lower number, because then it shows that he's not really with the liberal faction of the Democrat Party, which is the lion's share of the Democrat Party at this point. So I think while if Joe Biden was left to himself, without any outside influence from the Democrat liberal faction of the party, then I think he would make a deal in a heartbeat with the moderates and with Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema and the House moderates and even the Republicans. But I don't think he is being allowed to do that because of the philosophy of the Democrat Party right now, and because they carry, the liberal faction carries such a such a heavy weight with the party. So I think he's in a very difficult position, just like Pelosi is. And so he has to be very careful instead of throwing the liberal faction overboard, because he needs their support, and he knows that that's the move.
And do you think this is a possibility that it's sort of like what we're seeing on the border, that everything Trump did was bad, bad, so everything that is opposite of that must be good? But in this case, you don't want to be perceived to give anything that you can, the GOP could call a win. That seems to be the operating procedure for Democrats. And they are not, some of them are unwilling to back off some of these demands, be it on the spending bill, be it on Afghanistan, be it on the border. We want to say Afghanistan, Milley's resignation or something like that sort. But rather than to concede and maybe look for something, some kind of agreement, you don't want to give those guys a win at all. So we're just going to stick to our guns on a lot of these things.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But again, I go back to saying that it's the Green New Deal, the climate change, the gender identity issues, that are so that so many in the Democrat Party right now, and in Alabama, maybe not so much. I think still in Alabama, but even in other parts of the country, even a greater extent of how those issues are what controls, and therefore they want to, you know, they see this as an opportunity to get a lot of stuff. And they're trying everything they can to get as much as possible while they have control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But unfortunately, because of Manchin and Sinema right now, they don't have complete control of the Senate, and that's where the problem lies.
And you know, you never want to discount Nancy Pelosi's ability to pull a rabbit out of a hat and have some kind of magic trick. But right. Beyond this, if she takes a L here, she takes a loss here, I mean, it's going to be tough going. And as time passes, as we get closer to the midterms, it's going to be a lot harder for Democrats to get much done. You're thinking about elections, qualifying is about to begin in some states, that doing the Obamacare type of things, not as likely as maybe they were at the very beginning of a presidential administration.
Well, I think as the election gets closer, I think what she wants to avoid right now is a loss. And that's why she is not bringing this bill to the floor. Because it would look bad for her party. It would look bad for her. And she is, but you're right. I never underestimate Nancy Pelosi. She is, she is very ruthless in many ways. While we don't agree with her policies, she is a very effective speaker. And when I say effective, in the sense that she is able to pull a rabbit out of a hat sometimes. So, I'm not saying that she's been defeated. I'm just saying that she's having a difficult time right now. But the main thing is, I think she doesn't want to move forward on anything right now that she sees that would hint at her being a failure and the party being a failure, and that would negatively impact the elections for next year for the control of the House and control of the Senate.
And in just about a minute and a half here, real quick, looking into that midterm, heading into that, I would have to assume your outlook is still pretty positive, you will get control. It's just a matter of how much momentum and what the kind of numbers you could get out of the 2022 midterms.
No, I'm still optimistic. I think that it looks very good for the Republicans in 2022. Now, it's still a year away, or over a year away, so anything could happen. So, in politics, you just sort of go week by week. So what maybe now may be completely different by the end of the year. But I think right now, unless the Democrats really, you see the president, you know, having a lot of issues. Just what, you know, the Afghanistan thing alone has really hurt the president. Again, now this might be the problems that he's got right now may be a different story come next summer and next fall. So, but I think right now, if the election were held today, I think it'd be very tough for the Democrats to hold control of the House and even the Senate.
Congressman, you've been very kind with your time this morning. We always appreciate having you on, and best of luck to you with what looks like kind of a touch-and-go kind of day today getting out of D.C.
We're on standby. We're just seeing what's going to happen. So thanks, Jeff, and look forward to being on with you hopefully before long.
All right. Congressman Robert Atterholt, ladies and gentlemen, joining us there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody take me home through.